Hi, this is Paul Jędrzejczyk with Sunday Morning Town Square, and I'm in the studio with Matt Millar. Matt is the head chef over at Reserve. Jenna Arcadocchino, she's over at Amore, and Tommy Fitzgerald of Cafe Stella, and we're going to be talking about cooking today. How you guys doing?
Good.
Great, thank you.
Super.
Good to hear. And I'd love it if each of you could tell me a bit about the restaurants that you work with and what you specialize in.
Ladies first, Jenna.
Oh, okay, sweet. I own a restaurant called Amore Trattoria, and Trattoria is basically a casual Italian restaurant that makes homemade food, kind of like Mama makes, and luckily I get to use local farms as well, so it's kind of a mix of all three things together.
Okay, okay. How about yourself, Matt?
I'm the chef at Reserve Food and Wine here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're a wine bar. But don't let that fool you. We have full-service restaurant, full menu available. Mm-hmm. We kind of specialize in cheese and charcuterie, but same as Jenna, we do a lot with local foods.
Okay.
Take advantage of what's bold and beautiful in West Michigan as much as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. And how about yourself, Tommy? I know you run a restaurant as well as you're kind of, you said, a mercenary.
Right, where you want it.
Yes, exactly.
I have the best hours of everybody. We close at 2 p.m. I'm in the Riverview Center, which is on Front and 6th Street. And Cafe Stella is actually named after my dog. And we just focus on, like, really, really, really good cafe-type foods. I say an egg and a sandwich.
Okay.
So we roast all our meats, and we use a ton of local products, too. And
we make everything from scratch. And basically, other than the hours, we're all pretty much in the same boat. We put our heart and souls in our plates and go for broke.
Now, have you all had a chance to check out each other's restaurants?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, poor guy over here is in the lakeshore, so he...
Yeah, I'm the odd man out.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I live about an hour away of a long commute, and I haven't had as much of a chance as I would like to explore some of the area restaurants, but it's on the list.
Gotcha. Now, over the last few years, Grand Rapids has had a big movement towards the farm-to-table and eating local. Where do you guys feel Grand Rapids is, you know, in line with other cities around the country, and what can we do to go more in that direction?
Oh, you're going to point to me. All right.
I'll go next.
Well, I've always thought it was simple, stupid. I started mine years ago because I was sick of paying for gas. And so I took advantage of, like, Heidi's Farm Stand out near Lowell.
Sure.
And, of course, the farmer's market downtown, because it was like, no, this is silly. You get these plastic tomatoes in when you can have these amazing tomatoes that come in right off the farm.
Well, it just makes sense.
Exactly. And then you develop relationships because you're there all the time. And then next thing you know, the farmers are hooking you up. And then it's like, it's a win-win-win situation on my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to agree. You know, living in Italy, it proves that the best way to eat is going to the market every day. And we've kind of lost that here in America, which is a bummer, because it would be great if we could have a market that was open every single day of the week that we could visit.
Right.
Luckily, we do have awesome markets and lots of stands that are, especially in about a month, going to be just going
nuts.
Yeah,
they just reopened that the other Saturday.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, and it was huge. I mean,
sure.
It was all over the place. And we should be really proud, I think. I don't really know how close we are to other cities, but I know we keep getting better every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, in Italy, they started a slow food, which is, it talks about, you know, buying locally as close to your house as you can. You know where it comes from then. You know it hasn't traveled for thousands of miles. And
right.
There's not wax all over it to preserve it.
Right.
As well as other things. Who knows what they put on to preserve it?
Right, right. And it just supports the local farmers and the
local
economy even more.
Yeah, you make friends, like he said. You know
sure.
all the farmers, and they know you. They want to support you. You want to support them, and it's great. I mean, there's nothing better than that, and the food tastes way better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Now, how about yourself, Matt? What are your feelings?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, cooking with foods that are close to home has been important to me for a long time as well. And we don't buy local for local's sake. I don't really care to join a movement, you know, the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Buying your food locally is just how it should be.
Sure.
You shouldn't be buying tomatoes in August from Chile, and you shouldn't be eating strawberries in December.
Mm-hmm.
You should be eating what's seasonal and what's fresh and what's grown close to home. I'm a West Michigan boy. I've been here, you know, most of my life, so I might be a little bit biased, but I think the produce here on the lakeshore, we have a really interesting microclimate here, and we mm-hmm. grow some of the best food in the world. We're really second to none agriculturally, especially when it comes to fruits. The vegetables that are raised here are fantastic. And as Jenna said, every year it gets better and better. More and more farmers are scaling back, doing things on a smaller scale so that they can focus on quality a little bit mm-hmm. more, explore some of the heritage and heirlooms that aren't raised commercially too much. Just farmers market, you know, the growing season really hasn't started yet. And when I went to the farmer's market on opening day here, I saw green garlic and rhubarb and
mm-hmm.
Some storage crops left over from the previous year. I bought some black walnuts from somebody who had harvested them in the fall. There was a great abundance of really cool stuff at the market. We have a forager from the Kalamazoo area who's bringing us wild foods right now. And even though it hasn't been warm that long, we don't buy anything really from outside.
Okay.
Michigan to put on our menu
sure.
vegetable-wise right now.
What challenges do you kind of see with the whole farm-to-table thing and the seasonality of some of the things that you need?
Seasonality is the big issue. You know,
okay.
And one of the reasons we're getting better, I think, in West Michigan, I mentioned this at the JW event we did together a while back. When you start forging relationships with farmers, you can start sort of telling them what your problems, what your needs are.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the big problems in Michigan, of course, is that it's damn cold here in the wintertime.
Right.
And there's not a whole lot available to grow.
Right.
So some of the farmers are responding by putting up cold frames and doing more storage crops, doing hydroponic and greenhouse vegetables through the winter months, thanks to people like Chris Van Eitsma from
Mud Lake
Farm. I
oh, okay.
haven't had a California lettuce on my plate in 5 years.
Right. Yeah. She's amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Yeah. Her arugula is phenomenal.
It really is great. And, you know, you can't do that with the Cisco rep. You can't
right.
forge those relationships and tell them, yeah, what I need this.
Or
I need
they don't ask
salad.
You what they want either.
Right.
You know, these farmers say, hey, I want to plant a space for you. What do you want this year?
Right, right.
And you're like, really? That's awesome.
Right.
Because who does
and
that?
And that's the cool thing about it is it's you know, you really get to know these guys and they'll tell you, well, you're out of your mind. We can't do that. Or they say, oh my gosh, Tommy, we can do that all day and, you know, it'll be dirt cheap if we do it like that. And
mm-hmm.
and then that's, again, working with the people that are providing our food and saying, hey, you know, cool. If you're going to make more money doing it like this and I'm going to get better pricing and then it all translates to the better value on the plate, that's what communication's for.
Right.
And you're right, though, because I use Gordon Food Service because Ann Meyer – For my stuff that I can't get directly, because at least we've got two local big boxes mm-hmm. that are still dumping money into our community on every single level. But you're right, though. It's kind of funny because you know, you talk to them about like, well, I know you have a relationship with this provider, but I have to order it 2-3 days out. Why is that? Well, because they can't keep up with it. We'd love for them to do all our basil, but they can't keep up with it. I'm like, well, still, you guys, come on, you're logistic kings. Why are we having this conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to have these farmers bring in their stuff, or why do I have to go pick it up, or why do I have to get Dorganics involved and because they're picking up a bunch from Mud Lake or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Why
sure.
can't that's I think that's the call to action that Cisco and Gordon Foods has to have is, you know, make some logistics so that you guys are a part of the solution that make our life easier. I mean, it would be a perfect world if we could go to the market every single day, chefs,
mm-hmm.
and go, ooh.
Right.
But the bottom line is we're also running a business, and
we have
to keep things flowing. And most of the time we're putting out our own fires.
Yeah, that's true.
And I have to throw it in real quick, and mm-hmm. I apologize in advance, West Michigan. you got to pony up. Sure. And when you are eating better food, when you're sourcing better food, when you are getting into something with more quality and more character, it costs more money. It's just plain and simple.
Sure. But it's worth it.
You have to expect to pay a little bit more for good
stuff.
And
not complain about it.
And not complain about it.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, I think that's the biggest angst. I mean, I get it all the time because I'm outrageously I'm more expensive than either of you put together when I do something in the home. And people don't understand. I put minimums on this because it's our time. It's, you know, and with the quality that we're doing and what we're doing, and people, well, that's crazy. Well, I can have so-and-so do that. I'm like, yeah, you absolutely can, but it's not the same product. You're
well,
not even.
I mean, you're selling you, which is the fun part too.
Well, that too, and you know, I mean, I'm delicious, but but at the same token, I never ever ever one. Well, I don't think I've ever seen your menu, Jenna.
I know, but
because
that's
I'm
fun,
like
though.
Because I don't want to, and I've never seen your menu to tell you the truth, Matt. I you know, Aaron waits on me and or Brittany, and it's like, well, you're my friends. You just do it because I want the best from the chef. And all the people that I send to both your properties, it's like, don't look at the menu. Talk to your server. They know. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I've seen in both your restaurants in the past year, you guys. I want to give you some kudos, is your passion's translating to your sales force. And that is everything for a restaurant.
We're getting there. It takes time. It takes time for them to be as passionate about it as we are. Yeah. You know, but if you feed it to them, they learn.
That's what it's all about.
Tommy's absolutely right. If you want the best food, if you want the best service, walk in and sit down and say, take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
A very conscientious professional, whether it's a chef or a server or a bartender, is going to have something behind that bar or in that kitchen that they're excited about.
Right.
And they really want to share with you.
Right.
And you're likely to get them to be going above and beyond for you if they know you're as excited as they are.
Oh, absolutely. They're the best promoter for you.
Absolutely.